وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد And before we begin and continue with Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidahullah, that I've been asked to just remind the brothers to try and keep the noise level down in the masjid. But there's a lot of talking, and some of the people, knowledge and students of knowledge who have been, have pointed the like of this out. There seems to be a lot of noise level in this masjid, which should not be there really. The masjids are built for the remembrance of Allah. And even, as some of the people of knowledge point out, we're forbidden from even vying each or outdoing each other with recitation of the Qur'an, with the best of the speech. And we're forbidden from outdoing each other with the authentic hadith, that none of you raise his voice with recitation of the Qur'an over his brother. So how about with regard to speech of the dunya and the like? This is not befitting in the masjid that we raise our voices with the like of that, and it sounds like a marketplace. This is not befitting. So I was just asked to remind the people. Then to continue with, as we said, the three fundamental principles of Usul al-Thalatha of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then we are still on the first of the three fundamental principles with regard to the servant's knowledge of his Lord, and we had the point that the Lord, the Rabb, the Allah, the Lord, Ar-Rabb, the sole creator, he is the one who deserves all worship. And then the author, he goes on to describe some of the types of worship, and that's the point that we are at. A list of some of the different types of worship that are, of course, to be for Allah alone. So last week we had two of the types of worship, and Shaykh al-Fawzan pointed out that these, and many of the ones in the list here, they are acts of worship, or these ones mentioned in the list here, are acts of worship of the heart. Ibadat qalbiyyah, acts of worship of the heart. And the two that we had last week were al-khawf, fear, and al-raja, hope. And we had, just to quickly summarize, very quickly summarize, that fear, al-khawf, is of two types. Khawf al-ibadah, khawf fear, which is worship, which is what is referred to in the matter, in the topic here. And it's not permissible to give that fear to anyone else besides Allah, because it is worship. And Shaykh al-Fawzan explained it to mean fearing someone with regard to things that only Allah can carry out. Then this will be shirk. If you do this to someone else besides Allah, you fear that person or fear that one from creation with regard to things that only Allah can carry out. Then this will be shirk, because that type of fear is worship. And then there is a second type of fear, which is just normal, natural fear. Al-khawf al-tabi'i. Fear of visible, physical experience, things that we know by experience can cause harm. So this is natural fear. And then we had al-raja, hope and longing. Al-raja. And we had that it is of two types. That which is praiseworthy. The raja, which is praiseworthy. The hope in Allah that the person has when it is combined with righteous action. The person has hope in Allah and combines it with righteous action. As was indicated in the last ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, that indeed ar-raja is not sufficient, as Shaykh Farzan pointed out, it's not sufficient a person has hope in Allah that Allah will give him paradise, Allah will save him, but rather he must combine it with righteous action. And righteous action, as the Shaykh mentioned, being that which combines two things, al-ikhlas, that the action is done purely and sincerely for Allah and is free from any shirk, and it is upon mutaba'ah, the action is done following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free from al-bid'ah. So ar-raja, hope, and longing which is combined with that, with righteous action, is praiseworthy hope. And as for blameworthy, the second type of hope, that which is blameworthy, then it is just a person having hope and not combining it with righteous action. Leaving off righteous action and just hoping that Allah will forgive him. And then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continues with the list of acts of worship. And here, the edition of Shaykh al-Fawzan has a small heading with the next one, At-Tawakkulu wa Daliluhu. At-Tawakkul, trust and reliance, and its proof. And the next act of worship, At-Tawakkul, trust and reliance, and its proof. And there comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam, وَدَلِيلُ التَّوَكُّلِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ الآية من سورة المائدة وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ الآية من سورة الطلاق. He's saying, and the proof for tawakkul, trust and reliance, is his saying, He the Most High. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, and place your reliance and trust in Allah, if you are true believers. And then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, quoted a second ayah, which in the Shaykh al-Fawzan edition here is missed out, but is found in the other editions, the second ayah brought by the author as an evidence here, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So those who are memorizing it, they'll need to, if they're memorizing using this edition, which would be quite difficult, they need to pencil it in here. The second ayah brought by Shaykh al-Islam as evidence for this proof, for this matter, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The ayah from Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th Surah, ayah 3, with the explanation, and whoever places his trust and reliance in Allah, then he will suffice him. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, At-tawakkul, huwa at-tafwidu wal-i'timadu ala Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, At-tawakkul is to entrust your affairs and to place reliance in Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And to entrust your affairs to Him and to place reliance in Him, He the Perfect and Most High. And to entrust affairs to Him, He the Perfect and Most High. This is At-Tawakkul, trust and reliance. And it is from the greatest of the types of worship, ibadah. And therefore he said, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. The ayah of the text, with the explanation, and place your reliance and trust in Allah if you are true believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan makes a grammatical point here, and the point is that in normal speech, the speech of the people, the sentence would normally be put the other way around. Tawakkalu ala Allahi in kuntum mu'mineen, that way around. Meaning, place reliance upon Allah if you're truly believers. But in this sense, in the Book of Allah, it is this way around. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, with the explanation, and upon Allah, place your trust and reliance if you are truly believers. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the jar of the majroor, the preposition and the word with it are put before the governing word to indicate restriction. In other words, the meaning is place reliance in Him alone. Not just place reliance in Allah, place reliance on somebody else. No, this indicates the sentence structure here with the meaning, and upon Allah place your trust and reliance. Mean upon Him alone. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, quoting the part of the ayah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا, with the meaning, with the explanation, and upon Allah place your reliance and trust. Meaning upon Him and not upon anyone else besides Him. Then he said, إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, with the explanation, if you are believers, if you are people of Iman. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he made it a condition of Iman true faith, to have trust and reliance, tawakkul upon Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And this shows that whoever does not place his trust and reliance upon Allah, then he is not a mu'min, he is not a believer. So therefore, at tawakkul, trust and reliance is a tremendous act of worship. So therefore, the believer always places his trust and reliance in Allah and depends upon Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he makes a further point, and Allah, from his names, is Al-Wakil. From the names of Allah is Al-Wakil. Which can be roughly translated as something like the trustworthy disposer of affairs. And then Shaykh Fawzan himself explains it. He said, and Allah from his names is Al-Wakil, meaning Al-Mawkulu ilayhi umuru ibadi. Al-Wakil meaning the one to whom the affairs of his servants are entrusted. He the Perfect and Most High. And the one to whom the servants entrust their affairs. So at tawakkul, placing trust and reliance cannot be except upon Allah. And it is not permissible for a person to say, and here Shaykh Fawzan points out a common mistake that happens in people's language, he said, therefore, and it is not permissible to say, tawakkaltu ala fulan. I place my reliance in so-and-so, in a person, someone from the creation. It's not permissible to say that. It's not permissible to do that, and it's not permissible even to say that. I place my reliance in so-and-so, some person. Because that tawakkul, trust and reliance, is ibadah, is worship. And worship cannot be except for Allah. Then Shaykh Fawzani explains the point that some people, when they say that, what they actually mean is something else. So in other words, they should correct their wording. So the Shaykh said, as for when you delegate someone from the creation to carry something out for you, then this is not called tawakkul. You entrust, you give someone a job, a duty of doing something on your behalf. This is not called tawakkul. This is not called trusting in them. It is called tawkeel. Entrusting. Entrust someone to do something. In other words, tawkeel, authorizing someone to carry something out on your behalf. And al-wikala, authorizing or entrusting someone to carry something out on your behalf. This is something well known, that you entrust and authorize someone to carry out some need for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he delegated some people to deputize for him in carrying out certain duties. So at tawkeel, delegating or entrusting someone with something, is something other than at tawakkul, having trust and reliance. So at tawakkul, placing trust and reliance, is ibadah, is worship, and it cannot be except for Allah. And it is not permissible for you to say, tawakkaltu ala fulan, I place my trust and reliance in so and so, a person. Rather you should say, wakkaltu fulan, I mean, I have entrusted someone with something. And trust him to carry out a certain duty. And along with this, you entrust and authorize someone, but you do not place your trust and reliance in him. I mean, you can deputize someone to carry something out for you, but you're not allowed to place your trust and reliance in him. Rather, you place your trust and reliance in Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So notice the difference between the two matters of at-tawakkul, trust and reliance, and trust and reliance of the heart, and at-tawkeel, appointing someone to carry something out for you. There's a big difference, and you need to keep that distinction in your mind. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and from the attributes, from the characteristics of the believers, is that which Allah the Most High mentioned with his saying, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayah 2. With the explanation that the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. And when His signs are recited to them, it increases them in iman, and they place their trust and reliance upon their Lord. They have tawakkul, they place their trust and reliance upon their Lord. These are from the attributes of the believers. So therefore a tawakkul, trust and reliance, is a tremendous act of worship. It cannot be except for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Because He is Al-Qadir, He is the one who is fully able to do everything. And He is the Malik, He is the owner of everything. And He is fully able to bring about for you whatever you desire. As for the creation, the created being, then He might not be able to bring about something for you that you desire. So you may entrust Him with something, or you may entrust Him with carrying something out. However, trust and reliance is to be upon Allah with regard to attainment of that thing. You can get someone to carry something out for you, but as for in your heart, trust and reliance of that thing being occurring or not, that is with Allah. Have your trust and reliance in your Lord. That Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, because He is the one, He is the only one fully able to do everything, and He is the only one who is the owner of everything. Then the Shaykh said, then you should know that at tawakkul, trust and reliance, does not negate and contradict al-akhdhu bil-asbab, using the means to an end. And here Shaykh Fawzan is refuting the like of the deviant Sufis and the like, those who say that tawakkul, having reliance on Allah, means that you don't use any means. You sit and you don't apply means. Applying means is a negation of your trust and reliance on Allah. You shouldn't apply any means. You just sit and wait for Allah to give you whatever is decreed for you. You don't apply the means. If you apply means, that is a negation of reliance on Allah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan refutes the like of this and says, then also you should know that at tawakkul, trust and reliance, does not negate and contradict using the means to an end. Al-akhd bil-asbab. So the Muslim gathers between having reliance and trust in Allah and utilizing the means. He does both. And there is no contradiction between them. So you carry out the means which you are being commanded to do. However, you do not place your trust and reliance upon the means. Rather, you place your trust and reliance upon Allah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan gives an example who clarifies for us, and he said, you plant the seeds for crops in the earth. This is a means. In other words, you want crops to grow, you want fruits to grow, so you take the means, you take the seeds and you plant them in the earth. You don't just sit there, a barren earth, and just sit and say, I'm going to wait for the crops to grow. Shaykh said, no, rather you plant the seeds for the crops in the earth. So this is a means. However, you do not place reliance upon the planting and your own action. Rather, you have reliance upon Allah with regard to the growth of this plant and with regard to its producing fruit, and with regard to its being kept safe, and with regard to its being good and suitable. And therefore he says, and Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes two ayahs, أَفَرَأَيْتُم مَّا تَحْرُثُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th surah, ayah 63 to 64, with the explanation Do you see the seed which you sow? Do you make it grow? Or are we the one who causes it to grow? Do you see the seed which you sow, which you plant? Do you make it grow? Or are we the one who causes it to grow? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the one who causes it to grow in reality, he is Allah. But as for you, then you have just carried out the means only. It may produce this plant, and it may grow, or it may not produce it. And the seed may not grow. If it won't germinate, it won't grow. And if it grows, it may be good and fitting, and it may not be good. It may be struck by some calamity and will pass away. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point at tawakkul, trust and reliance. And just as a side point here, then Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his checking of Ibn Hibban, Sahih Ibn Hibban, and in As-Sahihah, number 2801, he brings an authentic narration from the Prophet, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the like of the meme that we just heard here, with regard to these ayahs. So he brings a hadith that Shaykh al-Bani declares authentic from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يقولن أحدكم زرعت ولكن يقول حرثت. Let not one of you say, I grow such and such, but rather let him say, I plant, or I cultivate. Then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, when he narrated this hadith, do you not hear the saying of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic? And he quoted the same two ayahs, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُفُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. For the explanation, do you see the seed which you sow? Do you make it grow? Or are we the ones who cause it to grow? And just finally, before moving on to the next point, then Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, he said in his explanation of three principles with regard to at-tawakkul. He said, at-tawakkul is to place reliance upon Allah. يَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ اِتِمَادًا كُلِّيًا. That a person places reliance upon him totally. And we do not divide tawakkul, reliance, in the way that we divided fear. We don't divide it into categories. So there's tawakkul which is worship, and there's tawakkul which is not worship. No, there's one. It's not divided. Tawakkul is worship, all of it. As opposed to what we had last week, fear, there's a kind of fear which is worship, and there's a kind of fear which is natural fear. But with tawakkul, no. Tawakkul, there's no division, it's all worship. He said, it is not permissible to place reliance except upon Allah at all. And with regard to the next point, then they bring a small heading, الرغبة والرهبة والخشوع ودليل كل. الرغبة, fervent desire, and الرهبة, dread, and الخشوع, reverence and humility, and the proof for each. Then there comes the saying of Shaykh al-Islam in the text, ودليل الرغبة والرهبة والخشوع قوله تعالى إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات ويدعوننا رغبا ورهبا وكانوا لنا خاشعين. الآية من سورة الأنبياء. With the explanation and the proof for الرغبة, fervent desire, and الرهبة, dread, and الخشوع, reverence and humility, is his saying, He the Most High, from Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, Ayah 90, with the explanation, they used to hasten to perform acts of devotion to Allah, and they used to worship us upon love and desire, raghaban, and upon fear, rahaban. And they were reverent and humble before Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, al-Raghba. So he mentions, the author mentions here, three types of worship altogether in that one ayah as a proof for all of them. Al-Raghba, fervent desire, the first of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, al-Raghba, fervent desire. Here, طلب الشيء المحمود. It means seeking something which is praiseworthy. And al-Rahba, the second one, al-Rahba. هي الخوف من الشيء المرهوب. الرهبة dread is fear of something which is dreaded. Then he caused evidence. He said, he the Most High said, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 40. With the explanation, and have dread of me. In context, the address to Banu Israel, don't have dread of them, don't have fear and dread of them, but have dread of me. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains what is al-Rahba, dread. He said it is a type of khawf, it is a type of fear. Al-Rahba, dread, and al-khawf, fear, have one and the same meaning. And they're both types of fear. Al-Rahba and al-khawf are both types of fear. Then he mentions the third matter. Shaykh al-Fawzan says al-khushu'a, reverence and humility. He said it is a type of tadallum, it is a type of humbling oneself to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And al-khudu, humbly submitting, and al-dhul, humbling oneself before Him, He the Perfect and Most High. And it is from the greatest of the levels of worship, al-khushu. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains the ayah from Surah Al-Anbiya, word by word. He said, he's saying, He the Most High, innahum, the meaning they. Shaykh al-Fawzan said this pronoun refers back to the prophets, the Anbiya. And who's the they referred to in the ayah with these characteristics? He said the pronoun refers to the prophets, the Anbiya. Since in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah of the Prophets, Allah has mentioned the stories of the Prophets. And then He said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. This ayah. After mentioning the stories of the Prophets before, then comes this ayah with the explanation, they used to hasten to perform good actions. And they used to worship us upon love and desire, and upon fear, and they were khashi'een, they were reverent and humble before Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he's saying, He the Most High, yusari'una fil khayrat, they used to hasten upon doing good, acts of good. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, they would race to them, and they would hasten to them. This is the characteristic of the Prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They would not be lazy, and they would not behave as if they were powerless. Rather, they hastened to doing good deeds, and they raced towards Him. He's saying, He the Most High, وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا. So the explanation, and they invoked and worshipped us with raghba. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, desiring what lies with Allah the Mighty and Majestic, desiring attainment of what they wished for. And he's saying, He the Most High, wa rahaban, with dread. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, with fear of us. So they called upon Allah, they called upon Allah to have mercy upon them. And they called upon Him not to punish them, and not to bring them to account, and not to seize them with punishment. So they had hope for the mercy of Allah, and they feared His punishment. Just as He the Most High said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, Ayah 57. With the explanation, those whom they call upon themselves seek a, those whom they call upon themselves seek a means of nearness to draw themselves closer to their Lord, to see which of them can draw closest to Him. They hope for His mercy and they fear His punishment. Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, Ayah 57. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so they called upon Allah, they call upon Allah having fear of Him. And they worship and call upon Him, desiring what lies with Him, even from reward. They call upon Allah so that He should ordain good for them and repel evil from them. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِئِينَ. Last part of the ayah, the explanation. And they were reverent and humble towards us. Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, meaning they were reverential, humbly submitting, humble before Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So they gathered between three characteristics. In those prophets referred to, they gathered three characteristics. Al-Raghba, Wal-Rahba, Wal-Khushu. These three acts of worship that occur here. Fervent desire, dread, and reverence and humility. He said these are the characteristics of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these three types are from the types of worship of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then he said, and it contains a refutation of the Sufis, those who say, we do not worship Allah out of desire for His reward, nor out of fear of His punishment. We only worship Him out of love of Him alone. That's what the Sufis say. We're not seeking any reward from Him. We're not fearing any punishment. We don't worship Him to try and avoid His punishment. Just out of love of Him, purely out of love. But Shaykh Fawzan said, that's what the Sufis say, Shaykh Fawzan said, this ayah is a proof against them. He said, this is kalam batil. This is false and futile speech. Because the prophets called upon and worshipped Allah raghaban wa rahban, with fear and with hope. And they were the most complete of the creation. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends speech on those three months of worship. And just again as a side point to its importance, inshaAllah, then Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Qasim said in his explanation of the book, The Three Principles, he brings a distinction between some of these matters. So he said, with regard to al-raghba, fervent desire, al-raghba, he said, it is to seek to reach something which is loved. Al-raghba is to seek to reach something which is beloved. And the difference between al-raghba and al-raja, the difference between al-raghba, fervent desire, and al-raja, hope, which came last week, which we mentioned last week. The difference between al-raghba, fervent desire, and al-raja, hope, is that al-raja, hope, is a hope for something. Whereas al-raghba is to actually seek something, is to actually actively seek. Raghba means not just to fervent desire on its own, means to fervent desire and to seek that thing. So he gives an example, whoever desires entry into paradise, for example, then this hope of his is called Raja. He has a hope, he hopes to enter into Jannah. Whoever hopes, all the believers hope to enter into Jannah, may Allah grant that to us. He said that this hope that they have is a Raja, a hope. But whoever seeks it through righteous action, then that striving of his is called a Raghba, fervent desire. I mean, just having a Raja, just hoping, that's Raja. But as actually doing something about it, seeking and striving based upon that, is called a Raghba, fervent desire, which has action along with it. So therefore every raghba of a desire is a raja. And then he mentioned the like of this from Ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin, volume 2, page 55. A second point, very quickly, he explains what is ar-rahba. He said, ar-rahba, dread, is al-khawf, is fear. And alarm, which produces or causes the person to flee away from what is feared. So ar-rahba, again, it's a fear, but a fear which has action along with it. Not just fear and no action. Ar-rahba, dread, is fear, khawf, which produces fleeing away from that which is feared. That is ar-rahba. That is ar-rahba. So it is fear which is joined with an action. And he quoted again, that was from Ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin, volume 1, page 512. Then to move on, there comes a small heading, Al-Khashyatu wa Daliluha. Al-Khashya, awe. Fear or awe. Al-Khashya, and its proof. And there comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Dalilul Khashyati, قوله تعالى فلا تخشوهم فلا تخشوهم. الآية من سورة البقرة. He said, the proof for الخشية awe is his saying he the most high فلا تخشوهم. Surah البقرة, second surah, ayah 150. So do not have خشية of them, do not have awe of them. A-W-E, awe, do not have awe, great fear of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Al-Khashya, awe, is a type of khawf, is a type of fear. And it is more specific than just fear, a specific type of fear. And it is said, Al-Khashya, awe, is fear which is mixed with ta'zeem. The khashya is fear mixed with veneration. He the Most High said, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ. Do not, with the meaning, do not have awe of them. He said, Allah, the Perfect and Most High, commanded having awe, khashya, of Him alone. He, the Most High, said in the ayah, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي وَلِيُؤْتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. The completion of the ayah, some more from the ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 150, with the explanation, so do not have awe of them, but rather have awe of me, and so that I may complete my favour upon you, and so that you may be guided. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he commanded, having khashya, awe of him, he the Perfect and Most High, in fear and veneration of him. And he said, in description of those who pray salat, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Surah Al-Ma'arij, the 70th surah, ayah 27. With the explanation, and those who have fear of the punishment of their Lord. And that's the description of those people who pray. They have fear of the punishment of their Lord. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning khaifun, they have fear. They are the elite ones. They are the elite ones from the creation. They have fear of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he said about the angels, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 50, with the explanation, they, the angels, they have fear of their Lord from above them, and they do whatever they are commanded. Shaykh Fawzan said again, the elite of the creation, from the angels and the messengers and the awliya, the beloved and obedient servants and the righteous ones, they have the utmost khashya, awe of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and khawf, and fear of Him, He the Perfect and Most High, and ar-rahba, and dread of Him. And that's the elite ones, the best ones from the creation have that. So ar-rahba, dread, and al-khawf, fear, and al-khashya, awe, all of them have a single meaning, even though some of them are more specific than others. However, they all share in being khawf, fear of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. In all those three words, al-rahba, al-khawf, and al-khashya, all those three acts of worship, are all different types of fear. Some being more specific than others, but they're all types of fear. And these are from the characteristics of the prophets and the servants of Allah and the righteous servants of Allah. And they are tremendous types of worship. And they are from the actions of the hearts, which are not known except to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And with regard to the next one, we will take as the last one today, inshaAllah. There comes a small heading, Al-Inabatu wa Diliruha. Turning repentantly and obediently, and its proof. And it comes the same of Shaykh al-Islam, وَدَلِيلُ الْإِنَابَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th Surah, Ayah 54, with the explanation. And the proof for in al-inaba, and the proof for al-inaba, turning repentantly and obediently, is his saying, He the Most High. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th Surah, Ayah 54, with the explanation. So turn in repentance and obedience to your Lord and submit to Him. Shaykh Razan said, Al-Inaba, this act of worship here, Al-Inaba. It is Ar-Ruju, it means returning, turning back, coming back. And it has the meaning of At-Tawbah. It has the meaning of repenting. And At-Tawbah, repenting, and Al-Inaba, turning back, have one and the same meaning. However, some of the scholars have said Al-Inaba is more specific. I mean, generally they have the same meaning, but Al-Inaba is actually more specific than At-Tawbah, repenting. Meaning it is more emphasized. Because it, inaba, is repentance, tawbah, but along with turning to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, meaning it is a specific repentance. And the person may repent, he may do tawbah, he may repent and leave the sin, he may repent and leave the sin and not return to it, and he may regret it. However, his turning to Allah may be a weak turning. He leaves a sin, he stops it, he regrets it, so he's repented from it. But he's turning towards Allah, so he's done tawbah, he's repented. But he, as regards to his turning back to his Lord, it may be a weak turning. Whereas al-inaba, then indeed it means al-iqbal, it means turning towards Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And therefore he said, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. The ayah of the head of the text here, the explanation, so turn in repentance and obedience to your Lord and submit to Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning turn back to Him and turn fully to Him, He the Perfect and Most High. مِن قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Next part of the ayah, again from Surah Az-Zumar, the same ayah, ayah 54 from Surah Az-Zumar, with the explanation, and that's the continuation. So turn in repentance and obedience to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes to you, and then you will not be helped. Shaykh Razan said, when the punishment which destroys and annihilates comes, then repentance will not be accepted from those who repent at that time. إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسِ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي. Surah Yunus, the 10th Surah, Ayah 98. Shaykh Razan mentions the one exception to that, the punishment starting to descend. Shaykh Razan makes a point here, that when Allah's punishment starts to come down, it's been written, it starts to come down, then it doesn't get turned back. With one exception, the people of Yunus. Mentioned the ayah with the explanation. Except for the people of Yunus, when they believed, then we remove from them the humiliating punishment, or we took away from them the humiliating punishment, except for the people of Yunus, when they believed, then we took away from them the humiliating punishment. Shaykh Farzan said this was an exception. Otherwise, when the punishment which destroys descends, then repentance is not accepted. And therefore he said, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Completion of, again of the ayah, with the explanation, again the completion of, so turn in repentance and obedience to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes. And then you will not be aided. Shaykh Farzan said, so at Tawbah, repenting, and at Inaba, turning repentantly and obediently, they have an appointed time and they have a limit. So repentance will not be accepted from the person who had a gharghara, experiencing the death rattle, when his soul is being taken, and his soul is making a noise in his throat. His repentance will not be accepted. Or someone to whom death comes, and the repentance will not be accepted from one whom the punishment which destroys and annihilates descends upon. And repentance will not be accepted when the sun comes out from its place of setting before the establishment of the hour. Repentance, tawbah, will not be accepted then. So therefore Allah encourages the servant upon tawbah, upon repentance, and upon al-inaba, turning to Him repentantly and obediently, before the time limit comes to its end. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. The explanation, before the punishment comes to you, and then you will not be aided. Shaykh Farzan said, so the witness is his saying, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. So do, the explanation, do inaba, turn to your Lord, repentantly and obediently. Shaykh Farzan said, this indicates that inaba, turning repentantly and obediently, is a type from the types of worship. Because he said, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, to your Lord. So this shows that it is a type and the types of worship. That's where Shaykh Farzan ends this point, just very briefly before finishing. And Shaykh Uthaymeen, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, Al-Inaba is returning to Allah, the Most High, by establishing obedience to Him and keeping away from sinning against Him. And it is close to the meaning of tawbah, of repentance, except that it is more subtle than it, because it contains an indication of having reliance upon Allah and resorting to Him. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
I think it's to repeat the last one, because you show the thing more for the difference.
Yeah, he said, Al-Inaba is returning to Allah the Most High by carrying out obedience to Him and avoiding committing sin against Him. And this is close to the meaning of tawbah, repentance, except that it is more subtle than it, because it contains an indication of al-i'timad on Allah, having reliance upon Allah, wal-ruju, and turning back, resorting to Him, turning back for shelter.
I think one of the things you'd have to do on that.